This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
Well, President Muhammad Buhari delivered a speech to the nation at 7 a.m. local time, where he called on Nigerians to go to the polls and vote. Said to vote means you believe in Nigeria.
That's VOA staffer Peter Kloti on the Nigerian president's address to the nation a day before the presidential election. Details next. Also, Senegal is finalizing preparations for its presidential elections on Sunday. Kenya's High Court has postponed a ruling on whether to repeal parts of the penal code that criminalizes same-sex relations. And the UN says that half of South Sudan's population is suffering extreme hunger. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, Nigeria's election officials vow they are ready for presidential and legislative balloting tomorrow, a week after the voting was postponed at the last minute. It's a national holiday today to allow people to travel to places where they registered to vote, which often are their hometowns. President Muhammadu Buhari, who appears likely to face a tight re-election battle, is urging people to vote and assuring them that security will be tight to avoid disruptions. VOA staffer Peter Kloti is in Lagos, and he spoke with my colleague Paul Alexander.
Well, President Muhammadu Buhari delivered a speech to the nation at 7 a.m. local time, where he called on Nigerians to go to the polls and vote. Said to vote means you believe in Nigeria and that democracy has a chance to flourish in Nigeria and that no wealthy hand can deter Nigerians from the democratic path that the people have chosen. He also called on Nigerians not to be afraid to go to the polls, and that instructions have been given to the police and other security agencies to create a peaceful environment to allow voters to cast their ballot without fear of intimidation or harassment.
So what's the mood there right now?
People have been traveling to go to their hometowns to go and vote. They say they have been inconvenienced. However, they are determined to vote. Restrictions will be placed from early morning, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. For voting, particularly here in Lagos. Those who can only move around are security agents, operatives, and those who are accredited, including poll observers, the media, and a few other people who have been designated to move around.
Are people excited about this election, disappointed, frustrated?
Well, people were initially frustrated after the Independent National Electoral Commission Chairman, Professor Mahmoud Yakubu, postponed the election for a week, citing logistical challenges. And they said the chairman should have known days or perhaps a day or 24 hours before time that logistical challenges would make it impossible for INEC to hold the elections. But then hours before time, he announced at 2:30 to 2:45 a.m. Early Saturday morning that the election has been postponed. And that displeased a lot of people. Some say they are still determined to cast their ballot because they belong to one party or the other.
So are all the preparations finished?
The Electoral Commission chairman came out and said that it will take an act of God to prevent elections tomorrow and that the reconfiguration of the voter machines, the voter card readers that will read the PVC or the documents which will authenticate a voter, they have achieved 100% activation rate. So he thinks everything is on course. There were earlier reports of some ballot papers let's from one state ending up in another state 2 days ago. Those, he says, have been rectified now, and that tomorrow Nigerians will have the opportunity, after a week's delay, to cast their ballot to choose a new president and a new National Assembly if they so choose.
Anything else?
Well, the PDP is expressing concern because one of its senatorial candidates was arrested on suspicion of an attack that killed a few people in his state. Together with 8 people, they were arrested.
VOA's Paul Alexander speaking with reporter Peter Clotty in Lagos. Senegal is finalizing preparations for its presidential elections on Sunday. President Macky Sall is seeking a second term. Sall, who is 57 years old, has 4 rivals, but 59-year-old Idriss Seck, a former prime minister, is considered among the strongest. His 2 previous bids for the presidency have been unsuccessful. VOA journalist Salwa Jafari is in Dakar covering the elections. Today she spoke with my colleague Kate Pound-Dawson about what to expect in Sunday's voting.
Well, the campaign ends at midnight today, which means that the 5 candidates have now less than 24 hours to convince. And Dakar people are definitely on election mode. It's actually very hard to drive through the capital, as there are political rallies almost every day, everywhere, like big streets, small streets. A lot of Macky Sall supporters wearing colors of the party, holding pictures of the current president. As for the preparation before the vote, the local media has been covering that extensively. I've been watching some TV, some local TV here. They're reassuring people that everything will be ready before Sunday. The electoral equipment has been distributed throughout the nation. Security forces have been dispatched throughout the country. Let me give you a few numbers for your audience. 6.5 million electors are supposed to cast their votes on Sunday. More than 15,000 voter stations to receive these Senegalese electors, and a total of 500 foreign and national poll observers have been accredited to observe and to be there during the voting day on Sunday.
Now, what can we expect on Sunday in terms of the voting process and when to expect results?
Well, Senegal practices the 2-round voting system for the presidential election. The winner is required to gain over 50% of the votes to avoid a second round, and that's what Macky Sall, the current president, is aiming for. If no candidate wins more than 50% of the vote, a second round will be held within weeks. It's going to be probably announced after they announce the result of the first round. Per the constitution, and as is usually the convention, only 2 candidates contest in the runoff. The candidate with the most votes and the one with the second most votes. The candidate with the most votes after the runoff will be declared president. So the voting day on Sunday, everybody's going to start voting at 8 a.m. And the voting stations, or voting offices, as they call them here, will be closed at 6 p.m.
Okay, great. And when do we expect the results of the first round?
The results are usually, they start counting the ballots right away. And people expect the results by February 25th or 26th.
That was my colleague, Salwa Jafari, who is in Senegal to cover Sunday's election. She spoke with Kate Pound-Dawson. Kenya's High Court has postponed a ruling on whether to repeal parts of the penal code that criminalizes same-sex relations. The ruling was initially scheduled for today, but is likely to come near the end of May. Rael Ombor reports from Nairobi.
Justice Chacha Mwita addressed a courtroom packed with members of the LGBT community, their allies, and journalists. Gasps could be heard as the judge announced on behalf of his three-judge panel that they had challenges in writing the ruling.
You may not like the news, but I would. We are still working. The other challenge is that you understand one of our colleagues is still on leave. They have asked me to ask you. You give us up to May.
Mwita said challenges included reading through huge volumes of paper files and an inability to convene all the judges at the same time. The postponement of the judgment to May 24th was met with disappointment and suspicion. Felix Kasanda is an LGBT activist who was in the courtroom Friday.
Gay issues is very sensitive in this country, and I think even with the judges, they can't make this decision by themselves. I think they need to consult from other government bodies. So I think that's why they're still pushing it. They still need some time.
Court hearings began in February 2018 when LGBT rights activists asked judges to repeal Section 162A and C and Section 165 of the Penal Code. Under the code, people convicted of same-sex relations can be sentenced to up to 14 years in prison. Activists argue that the sections, which date from 1930, infringe on LGBT rights to privacy and dignity and effectively deny them access to medical services or police protection. Charles Kanjama is the lawyer representing the Kenya Christian Professionals, which argued against changes to the penal code. He expressed understanding for the judge's decision.
We understand they work under very severe workload, and this is just one of dozens or hundreds of cases they're handling.
If the judges change the penal code, Kenya will be the first country in East Africa to decriminalize homosexuality. Angola did so earlier this year by excluding anti-sodomy laws from its constitution. Judges in Botswana are set to hear a case in March that challenges anti-homosexuality laws in that country. Rael Ombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
The Kenyan court's postponement was met with disappointment by many in Kenya's LGBT community.
I'm sad and disappointed, but it's not lost. So that's a good thing, right? So at least we still get a chance to fight.
Some said they were hopeful the law would be overturned.
We are very optimistic and we trust in the outcome of the justices of this country.
Others suggested there were other ways to change Kenya's laws, a plan B, as one person put it.
If they don't rule on our favors, we still have plan B. No, I can't share with you now, but we have plan B.
The High Court's ruling is now expected on May 24th. Some of the thorniest issues for Europe and the Arab world will be on the agenda as leaders from the two groups gather in Egypt this weekend for their first summit. Major breakthroughs seem unlikely given how troublesome that talks over Syria, Libya, illegal migrants, security and trade have proven, and the wide range of views and priorities the governments carry. More than 40 heads of state and government will be there, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel, British Prime Minister Theresa May, Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri from the Arab League, and the presidents of Tunisia and Iraq. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi is the host. Some political analysts in the region say fostering cooperation between the two groups is critical, with American influence waning and Russia and China trying to fill the resulting gap. You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. Nineteen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari, who appears likely to face a tight re-election battle, is urging people to vote and assuring them that security will be tight to avoid disruptions. Senegal is finalizing preparations for its presidential elections on Sunday. President Macky Sall is seeking a second term. And Kenya's High Court has postponed a ruling on whether to repeal parts of the penal code that criminalizes same-sex relations. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Three United Nations agencies warn that more than half of South Sudan's population is suffering extreme hunger and humanitarian aid is urgently needed. This is based on a new report by the Food and Agriculture Organization, the UN Children's Fund, and World Food Program, in collaboration with the government of South Sudan. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The report expects nearly 7 million people in South Sudan could face severe food shortages at the peak of the lean season between May and July. This is a period of poor rainfall, little or no harvest, when food stocks are depleted and people often go hungry. Parts of the country particularly at risk are the Greater Upper Nile, Bahr el Ghazal, and Equatorial regions. At the root of the hunger crisis is South Sudan's five-year civil war. But World Food Program spokesman Hervé Verhoosel says a series of poor harvests and large-scale displacements which prevent people from planting crops are other factors contributing to the food shortages.
Poor families in the worst hit areas are already experiencing food gaps. As many as 50,000 people will face famine-like conditions at the height of the lean season in July, and 60% of the population who will be unsure of where the next meal will come from.
Verhoosel says WFP aims to provide food aid for 5.4 million people this year. He says the agency needs $662 million to cover the needs for the first 6 months. While most of this money has been received, he says WFP still has to close a funding gap of $145 million. UN agencies report malnutrition levels are critical in many areas, with some 860,000 children under the age of 5 severely malnourished. They warn acute malnutrition is likely to increase throughout the country during the coming lean season when food is particularly scarce. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Members of the Rwandan parliament have approved legislation to ban single use plastic materials imported into or manufactured in the country. Under the bill, the government gives a 2-year grace period for companies to stop manufacturing single-use plastics. But some members of parliament argue this period is too short for companies that may have borrowed money to fill production contracts. Eugene Uimana has more details from Kigali.
Speaking before Parliament, Vincent Biluta, the Minister of Environment, said that based on available data, the amount of plastic in the ocean will outweigh the fish. He said the effort to prevent this has to go into high gear. He says plastic is a very big problem in Rwanda and around the globe. Plastic is non-degradable and single-use plastics especially continue to add to the tons of plastic waste. That's why the world is working hard to ban them. The single-use plastics on the Rwandan market include plastic bags, straws, coffee stirrers, drink bottles, and food packaging materials. These products are imported or locally manufactured. Though Parliament approved the legislation, some members are concerned about loss to companies that may not be ready to abandon the plastic business in 2 years. MPs Teogene Munyanyeyo and Anita Mutesi share the concerns. Munyanjo says the law would be clear and important, but if the company has secured a deal to do business and had a 10-year business plan, and you give them a grace period of 2 years, what is the basis of this, and how do you think they are ready to cope with this? Mute says she supports the proposal of the law, but she's worried about the 2 years grace period. Is there any result of how we cope with the issue if we ban them? In 2008, the country banned many types of plastic bags. Parliament member Inyasiene Nyalukundo says this new draft law is more concerning since the ban on bags has left the country with a shortage of packaging materials. She says there were plans for alternatives when we banned plastic bags. But 10 years down the road there seemed to be no alternative as expected. Nyalukundo asks, how sure are we that there will be packaging alternative once we ban single-use plastics? Environment Minister Biruta told the MPs the law is in the interest of the general public. Biruta says we can't establish a law basing on traders' business plan. We have to establish the law first and engage traders to be ready and adopt it. We are making laws for the interests of many. We also engage them to see how they can't count more losses. If President Paul Kagame signs the legislation, in the coming days, it will take effect in 2 years. After that, companies that produce single-use plastics, 2 years will face fines and could be shut down. Eugene Wimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Patrick Dea, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
This is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily reports when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, an international edition for the latest from Lagos.
It's been a long week. You worked hard. Probably need a break. I can help you with that. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, tune in and relax, energize, connect with great music and people from across the African continent. This Sunday's 55-minute program features gorgeous Pan-African music from 9 different countries. Song of the week, Muscatella, stirs up tasty Ghanaian and Calypso flavors you're gonna love. And last but not least, my feature interview with marimba band Rio Mira will get you in tune with your Afro-Pacific brothers and sisters. So come on, peepsters, join me this Sunday at 1505 and 20500 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, political fallout over U.S. President Donald Trump's declaration of a national emergency. The move, designed to obtain more funding for a border wall without congressional approval, has prompted lawsuits and met with growing public opposition. An update on U.S. politics next on Encounter, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.